guys. Welcome to episode 26 of the Knitting Pretty podcast. It is November 6, 2014. My name is Em. You can find me on the internet as Knitfast Die Cozy, particularly Ravelry and Instagram. And then you can find show notes for the podcast at emmaknits.net, along with my blog and my knitting patterns. You can find a Facebook page at facebook.com/emmaknits. And there is a Ravelry group for the podcast if you just search Knitting Pretty Podcast. That's where it is. Anyway, hi. Welcome. Thank you for listening. Thank you for returning to listen again if you are one of those people who have done that. I appreciate you very much. It's been a fun week since we last spoke. It was Halloween. And so there's been, you know, candies and pumpkins and all that good stuff. And my daughter's Cheshire Cat costume was a hit. If you want to see pictures, it's on Instagram now. She was pretty adorable. A little creepy, but pretty adorable. It was a good holiday. But yeah, other than Halloween, it's just been life as usual. One thing that is going to be putting a little bit of a... It's just going to make crafting and podcasting more difficult in the next little while is I've taken on a rather large volunteer position. I was doing something similar beforehand. Basically, I live in a housing cooperative, which is a way of providing reasonably priced housing to people of all incomes. But part of what that is that the people who live in the housing co-ops have to run them. And I'm somehow now the president of the co-op board. I don't know how this has happened. But our co-op has a lot of work to do, and a lot of that's going to fall to me. Whether it's meetings or just doing work. So hopefully I'll be able to keep the podcast weekly and keep up with my crafting enough that I actually have something to talk about. But, you know, I will. I'll be fine. It's just a matter of planning my time correctly. And so if I seem a little more absent, whether it's just from, you know, Ravelry boards and Instagram, or if I skip the occasional week, it's not because I don't love you, and it's not because I'm losing interest in doing this. It's just a matter of trying to manage my time. And time management is something that I've not always been good at. So I'm trying to learn to do it in order to be an official adult. So if you don't hear from me quite as much over the next while, that's why. I'm just sinking into this new position and possibly realizing that I've gotten in over my head. We'll see. March hair kits for the March hair hat and mitt pattern that I designed and released on November 1st are available from the Unwind Yarn Company website, which I'll link in the show notes, and she's going to be having an update with kits on November 11th. So if you like those patterns and you're interested in getting a kit in the yarn that the pattern officially calls for, I would recommend following Dana on the various social media so that you can keep track of that. The pattern release was a success, and I'm really glad that it went well. Thank you guys so much for your support. It's a really cute pattern, I gotta say. If you haven't checked it out, you really should go have a look and see if you might be interested in supporting Dana with a kit purchase. I think that's all as far as the administrivia. Let's move on to the actual crafting. So in my past, there are no finished knitting or spinning projects in my past this week, but I've been doing some sewing. I bought the Dahlia, or Dahlia, however you like to say that word, I tend to say Dahlia, pattern from Colette Patterns. It's a cute dress. It's got a sort of A-line skirt and a waist yoke, and then a bodice that has gathers rather than darts, and a raglan sleeve. And then there's a sleeveless version with a gourd skirt as well. Either way, cute, cute dress. Very versatile. And I bought some fabric for it. I wanted to do something in kind of a really lightweight suiting kind of fabric. So I got it's a woven kind of tweedy check kind of thing. I don't actually know what it is. But whatever. It's a fabric. It's kind of brownish. I'll put pictures when the dress is done. But anyway, because I bought this fabric and it's a little bit more than I usually spend on fabric and I wanted it to be just right, I actually, for the first time in a very long time, made a muslin for myself. So the intention was that if it fit, the muslin would be not wearable, but like something I could lounge around the house in if I needed to. And if it didn't, it wouldn't matter. So I just used some scraps out of my fabric stash. I basically made a color block dress. So from the waist down, it's black, the waist yoke, and the bodice is medium gray, and then the sleeves are a light sort of taupey gray. And if it hadn't been the muslin, it would have been a very wearable color palette. I really like the dress. But unfortunately, the muslin didn't fit perfectly straight out of the box. But really, that's the sort of thing that you should expect. If a pattern's made to fit the average and you are anything other than the average, then the pattern's not going to fit straight out of the envelope. But a muslin will help you fit it. So I used the muslin. I did a lot of pinning and just general modification to find out how I could make it fit my body better. And all I ended up having to do was take in about an inch along the sleeve seams, which raised it up and made the bodice a little bit smaller than the skirt. And then I made the skirt a little bit bigger. Really simple. I'm really glad I did the muslin because I would have been sad if I had to make those modifications on my nice suiting fabric. So that's that. If you happen to be interested in sewing the Colette Dahlia pattern and you think that the envelope size, or the size on the pattern envelope, the 24, is your size, let me know and I can send you my unaltered muslin. I didn't re-sew it, I just pinned it. So it's not wearable. Like, it's not a dress that you could wear. It's some pretty shoddy sewing. I didn't try very hard. But if you'd want to skip the muslin making process, just send me a PM on some sort of social media, and for the cost of shipping, I'll send it off. If you pay shipping, I'll send you the muslin. It'll save you the time of sewing it. 'Cause I don't need it now. I've modified my pattern and my body shape's not changing anytime soon. So whatever. I'd love to send it along to you if you want to save yourself the time of making it or making the muslin. But like I said, it's not a finished wearable dress, so don't expect it to be. Fair warning. The only other crafty thing I finished in the past week was pumpkin carving, because it was Halloween and pumpkins need to be carved for Halloween. If you want to see my pumpkins, go check them out on Instagram. I'll try and remember to put a picture in the podcast show notes too. I am super proud of my pumpkin this year. I did a Sleepy Hollow pumpkin, the Tim Burton movie, and I am not under the impression that it is a good or groundbreaking movie, but I do enjoy it around Halloween because it's kind of a, Halloweeny movie that's not horror and scary. I don't really like horror movies. I don't know. It's not that I don't like the scary, I just don't. They just don't make me happy, I guess. So I very much enjoy that movie around Halloween, and I thought, why not make a Sleepy Hollow pumpkin? So I did the promotional poster for it is the Headless Horseman, and his horse is rearing up underneath the tree. And so I took that and then made the background of that the jack-o'-lantern face from the beginning of the movie. And I am so super proud of this pumpkin, you guys. I've never been happier with a pumpkin that I've carved. And I've done some pretty cool pumpkins. I did a pretty sweet Calvin and Hobbes one a couple years back, and a one of the video game Limbo with a giant spider and a little kid. And so, I mean, I've done cool pumpkins, but this one takes the cake. Check out the picture, all right? It's so cool. On to the present. Still working on the Hugo pullover for my husband. Kelsapries, I guess I'm going to be working on it forever, it's starting to feel like. But I have now got into the front armhole shaping. So I've done the whole back, I've done the front, and bound off some stitches for the armholes, and now I'm doing the shaping. Which means, really, the front is almost done. Because it's got a lot of, space comes out for the armholes, and then space comes out for the neck, which cuts down the knitting time considerably. So after that, it's just a matter of arms and collars and sewing and all that good stuff, which will take a while still, but I'm motivated. It's a good sweater. I want it to be done. I have been spinning on the Humming Bee Farm South Down Suffolk Cross roving, and it's about half done now. And I have to say, and it's no complaint whatsoever about Humming Bee Farm, but it's not very nice roving, and she warned me about that. She said that it was not as nice as last year's batch, and that's true. It's got a lot of sticks and veg matter and stuff in it. But the dye work is spectacular, and so I really don't care because it's a great wool for socks. It's very springy, it's very durable, it doesn't felt very much at all. And so, it's not that big of a deal to me that the roving is kind of icky to spin. It just means that I make sure I clean off my lap afterwards. But the dye work in this particular set of colorways is amazing. I've told you before, it's black and turquoise and dark greens and purple and brown. But it's so saturated. The turquoise particularly, but also the brown and purple just sort of glow out from this black, which is very, very, very black. So the dye colors are just super, super saturated, but really, really moody and kind of dark. So I'm really enjoying spinning it, even though the actual spinning is kind of an icky spin. Also in my present is some more sewing. So after I made the muslin for the Dahlia, what you have it, dress, I did my fitting and cut out the pieces for my official version of said dress. I also cut out pieces to make a Monita dress by Colette Patterns, which I am doing in a cotton blend jersey that is a sort of warm beige. It's nicer than beige, it's richer than beige, but it's not quite fawn. And it's got triangles on it, just a print of triangles, and they're in a dark burgundy color. So I think that'll be a very, very cute dress, and also the sort of beige, the neutrals and burgundy are very on trend this winter, so it'll feel fun knowing that I match up with the other cool kids. And then I also cut out fabric for two more of my, I think it's a pattern that I have sewn more than any other and probably will continue to. It's called the Plus Size Printed Tunic. It was a Birda style pattern from their website and now is available in just their standard Birda catalog. It's a very simple tunic. I'm actually wearing one today. It's got pleats in the front from a high empire waist and gathers in the back, and you can make the sort of bottom slash skirt of it as long as you want. The bodice of it in the pattern has a slit neck. It's got a high neck with a slit, and then it's all bound off with bias tape. I don't go for the whole slit neck thing. It looks terrible on me. So I cut it down into different shapes. I've done a couple of V-necks, and these ones are a low, narrow scoop neck, which is a pretty flattering look on me. And then it also in the pattern has long sleeves, but all you need to do to make those short sleeves are basically not cut out for long sleeves, you just cut them shorter. So I am doing short sleeves on them. And my favorite top that I wear all the time is this pattern done like that with a longer skirt, a narrow scoop neck, and really short sleeves. And I just wear it all the time because it's long enough that I can wear it over skinny jeans or jeggings or even, dare I say it, leggings, although I don't tend to because even though it is long enough to wear with leggings as pants, I just feel like I'm not wearing pants, but also not wearing a dress if I go out like that. I just feel like my butt's showing? And I'm not 100% on the leggings or not pants bandwagon. I feel like people can wear whatever the hell they want. But I think for me, leggings don't feel enough like pants that I'm comfortable wearing them in public. Also because TMI, I really like bright and colorful printed underwear. And if you wear bright and colorful printed underwear under leggings of any sort, and when you bend over, they stretch more, obviously. And if your shirt comes up high enough that those stretched leggings are showing out underneath it, most likely people are going to be able to see the print on my underwear. And no one needs to see that, you know? You probably didn't even need to know that I had it, but you do now, so do with that information as you see fit. Just try and forget it, maybe, might be best. The long and short of it is, I love that pattern. If you are looking for a comfy, basic, sort of feminine tunic pattern that works well in all sorts of different lightweight cottons, it might be one to consider. I have pictures on my blog of multiple versions of it, which might help you decide if it's something for you. In my crafty future, I have one thing I wanted to tell you about, and it is for my brother-in-law. And he's been kind of hinting at wanting one of these for some time, but I keep thinking, oh, he won't use it. It's not a thing for using. But you know what? If he wants it and I can make it for him, then he can have it. And that is a pattern called Dwarven Battle Bonnet 2 by Sally Pointer of Wicked Woolens. And you know those beard hats where it's like a toque with a beard attached to the bottom? Well, it's like that, but it's got a big dwarven beard and it's spectacle helm with it's got baubles on it that look like rivets and a cable that looks like reinforced metal work. And a big dwarven beard, and I'm gonna mess with it so that the beard on this one is a knitted sort of panel of ribbing that you then do braids for mustaches and stuff over top. I'm actually gonna just make the whole thing out of various strings of yarn. I'm not really sure how yet. I haven't got that far, but I think it'll be better. Anyway, he said he wants one of these for ages, and so I'm gonna make it. It's gonna be ridiculous, but it's probably gonna be a fun knit. So at least there's that, and maybe he can, you know, it's basically a balaclava. So if it gets really cold, maybe he can wear it and feel warm and fuzzy, or not, whatever. And that segues nicely into this week's show and tell. It's still not Charka stuff. I didn't have time to research it. Remember that volunteer position I talked about? Totally took up all my time. So, this time, something I can talk about a little bit more off the top of my head is gift knitting. I wanted to talk first about who is knitworthy. Who is the kind of person who you want to knit a gift for? Some people talk about the kind of person that is knitworthy is somebody who's really, really nice to you and you care about them a lot. I don't think that that necessarily means a person is knitworthy. A person who's knitworthy to me is somebody who will really, really appreciate your crafting time. And so that means somebody who appreciates handcrafts, somebody who appreciates the handmade, and who will love and take care of a handmade item that you give them. And sometimes the people we love the most and the people who love us most just aren't that person. For example, my dad. I love my dad very much, and he has, you know, he's a good guy, he understands the value of handmade items, but he doesn't really want them. You know, it just, they wouldn't make him that excited to have. And so for him, it's not that he's not knitworthy because he's a bad person. Far from it. He's not knitworthy because, in the sense of the way I think of it, he won't appreciate the knitted items as much as he would appreciate something else that was, you know, from the heart, but not a knitted thing. On the other hand, my father-in-law, who is a man who, well, you know, he's very likable and we get along. It's probably for the best that we live in different cities and different countries because we just don't see eye to eye on everything. However, he loves my knitting and he's so kind about it and I remember putting my daughter in like little cabled sweaters, and people would come over. It was like a Christmas party or something. And he was pointing out to every single person in the room, Emma made that. Isn't that amazing? Look what she did. Look at that. It's all wool and it's beautiful. And, you know, everyone else is going, yeah, that's great. But he was really excited. And I have made him hand knit socks for several years in a row now, 3 years, I think. And every year he's excited to get them. Every year he's, oh, it's just what I wanted. Every year. In fact, the first year I made him hand knit socks, I made the, oh, what are they called? Elementary Watson? might be the name of them. I will link them in the show notes. They're based on John Watson's Guernsey pullover in the first episodes in the first season of Sherlock. They're gorgeous socks. Love them. Anyway, they took a little more time than I expected, and so I only got one done, and the other one still had, like, a couple inches left to make. And so when I wrapped them up for him, I only had one done. And so I put the one sock in the wrapping and was gonna just tell him, I have the other one in my purse, it's almost done. You'll have your socks by tomorrow. But he opened up the package under the tree. I've never seen somebody happier to pull a single sock out of their Christmas present. And he goes, "Oh, this is great. I always have one foot that's warmer than the other. This will be perfect for me." And like, I don't even think he was kidding. It was so weird, but he was so happy. And so to me, even though he and I aren't super close, he's super, super knitworthy. Also, he really likes scratchy wool, which means I can make him durable socks, which is a happy thing for me. Don't set yourself up for failure when you're knitting for the people you love, because if they don't appreciate it, if they don't really recognize how much love you've poured into your knitted handwork, it's just you're setting yourself up for a situation where you feel like you have poured love into each stitch of the thing you've made for your family member or your friend, and they don't see that love and they don't value it, and it can hurt. It can really hurt, and I don't want to see you guys go through that. So maybe don't if you don't think that they'll appreciate it. You've determined your person is knitworthy. So what to make? When it comes to knitting for other people, some people will recognize a really complex pattern in a tiny yarn and they'll be super impressed by it. And other people will be just as happy receiving a pair of bulky weight slipper socks. So use your judgment, think about the person, and then knit accordingly. Because if you can get away with knitting in bulky weight for people, do it. It takes so much less time and they'll love it just as much. And, fast knitting, right? Like, when it comes to number of stitches, you could knit a sweater in bulky weight for somebody in the same amount of time that you could knit a really complex, but much smaller, obviously, lace shawl. Another thing to keep in mind is to look at what's trendy right now. So look in the stores, see what is selling. Whether it's, bulky toques with pom-poms, toques or beanies, for those of you who are uninitiated into the awesomeness of the word toque. Or fingerless mitts, or cowls. Have a look in the stores and see what's selling. See what kind of thing that the person you're knitting for would like, and then try and make something similar, because I find, maybe lace shawls are a beautiful expression of how much you love the person you're knitting a gift for, but they might not necessarily appreciate it as much because they don't really know how to wear it. I mean, we're knitters. We knit these shawls, and half the time we don't know how to wear them. So consider that. Consider what's trendy and how much the person you're knitting for will care about them. Keep in mind softness. If people don't tend to wear scratchy wool, that's probably because they find it scratchy. And they might be better off with either 100% merino or a merino acrylic blend or not necessarily merino acrylic, but wool acrylic or a cotton and something blend. You can splurge and go cashmere. But either way, just keep in mind that people tend to approve more of soft things. Make sure that it'll fit them. So if you're knitting for somebody who is much bigger or smaller than you, when you're knitting, say, socks, make sure that they'll be big enough around the ankle for the person you're knitting for. If you're knitting mitts for somebody with really tiny hands, make sure that you try them on somebody else with smaller hands to make sure that they're fitting. You don't want somebody to open their present on Christmas Day and not be able to put their socks on because you've made them too small. So that's another thing to keep in mind. Consider care. Is the person you are knitting for a laundry wizard who hand washes things and puts a lot of effort into garment care? Good, you can make whatever you want for them. Are they a person who throws everything in the washing machine? Then you need to make sure it's super wash or that you make them something that they're not likely to need to wash. It's just important to take care in mind, and then also give them the care instructions. And for really important things that I've knit, I knit my sister and brother-in-law a blanket when they got married, and it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of work, but it's not made of superwash wool. And so I specifically said, this is how you wash it, but really and truly, believe me, if you need it washed while I am visiting you sometime, tell me. And I will do it because and they believe me. I think if you really think that you want to make somebody something that's of heirloom quality and you know that they won't be able to have time to wash it or necessarily have the know-how to care for it, offer your services if you live in the same part of the world or you visit regularly. Another thing I've done is when I give people socks, I let them know that I want them to wear the socks enough that next time I see them, they need their socks darned. Because I'm totally willing to put that work in, and I want to see that they're loving the things I've made for them. So I have an open darning offer on socks that I've made for people because of course I want them to enjoy the socks that I've made. So my history as a gift knitter, and I'm obviously talking about this because the holidays are coming up, whether it's Christmas or Hanukkah or, you know, solstice or somebody's birthday. It's coming up to December, which is a time that we tend to give people gifts. I started out knitting to knit Christmas gifts, which I thought would be cheaper. It's not. That was my mistake, but you know, it was 2008 and I was young and foolish. And I knit my in-laws a lap blanket out of grossest acrylic in like camo. Ugh. And it looks like a sort of camouflage tiger print now. It's an ugly thing, and they still put it out. It's very sweet of them. But anyway, so I started out knitting to make gifts, and I still every year get a little bit crazy with the Christmas gifts. And this year, I'm really trying to scale it back. But I think the worst ever it was I knit 15 Christmas gifts, and many of them were socks in a fingering weight. And I had to start in July to do it all. And it was very, very stressful. So I'm not going to be doing that again. And this year, my plans are small. Like I said about the dwarven battle bonnet, I'm going to be making one of those. I am making hand-spun socks for my sister out of the humming-bee wool that I talked about earlier. Socks for my father-in-law because he loves them. I'm going to make a toy for my niece. Because she is an adorable baby and doesn't want anything, because babies don't have gift needs like that at that age. But it'll be something that can sit on her shelf and, you know, be a kind of heirloomy looking toy for her. And the pattern I want to use for that is one I've mentioned before for the same purpose. It's called Fatty Lumpkin, the Brave African Flower Crochet Pony or something. It's by, oh, Heidi Bears, I think. I'll link it in the show notes. It's the cutest little, well, it's not that little actually, pony made out of crochet motifs, either hexagons or some of them are pentagons. But you make all these motifs and sew them together in such a way that you get a pony, which I think is pretty cool. So I'm going to make that. And then I might do some sewing for some other family members. I'm probably gonna hold off on the embroidery this year. I've done embroidery in past years, but that can take longer than I expect it to. But I'm not sure yet. I think I'm gonna try and keep it at that and buy the rest of the gifts. Maybe do some baking. But really trying to keep it pared down this year. A little more realistic so that I don't get to the week before Christmas and feel like crying because I have overcommitted myself. Because really that's just not supposed to be what giving gifts is about. So, yeah. And in the same vein as knitting Christmas gifts or other holiday gifts, I thought we would have a little bit of an informal craft along slash support group. So what I want to do is I'm going to call it the Craftworthy Craft Along. And the rules are that the things you post about have to be gift items. They can't be for you, they have to be for someone else. I don't care if that someone else is your kid, your dog, your mother, your neighbor, your postman, whatever. Just not for you. It doesn't have to be for a specific holiday. I really don't care. All giving opportunities are good, but it is going to run from whenever this goes up, sometime this afternoon, to December 31st. And the two places you can post things are in the dedicated Ravelry thread on the Knitting Pretty Podcast Ravelry group, in the forums, or on Instagram. And on Instagram, I want you to tag your pictures with Craftworthy 2014, so CraftWorthy 2014, and just in the Ravelry thread, any post counts. And this isn't a finished object thing, just post, just chat. So on Instagram, post pictures in the thread on Ravelry, just chat. Show pictures, show your progress, ask questions of other people working. Basically, it's a support group. It's just a, oh my gosh, I've overcommitted. How do I do all of this? Or I want to make socks for my father-in-law. What's that pattern you said? Or, you know, what's a good dress sewing pattern for a baby? Whatever. And every once in a while between now and December 1st, or 31st, December 31st, I will do a draw between Instagram and Ravelry, and I will give away little things. Some of the prizes, I'm going to give away a couple of my patterns, and including the new March hair set, the Beat Goes On cowl, and I'm gonna scratch together a couple other prizes for you too. But it's not gonna be a big, exciting, you know, prize-a-palooza, I don't think. Just little prizes here and there to help you keep motivated. So I'd really like it if you are knitting gift items of any sort, or you are crafting in any way, so sewing, polymer clay, embroidery, whatever. If you're making Christmas ornaments for people as gifts, come on down. And it has nothing to do with how many items you finished, it's just how much you post. So post it on Instagram or post it in the Ravelry thread, chat as much as you like. Every post or chatting forum post is an entry when the prizes happen. But really, this time it's just not about the prizes, it's about, you know, sharing what you're doing and having fun and helping other people through gift knitting, because it can get stressful. And in the holidays, what we don't need stress. We need to have fun with our friends and family, right? So come join, okay? I'll put up a Ravelry thread as soon as I am done with my computer, and we'll go from there. And also, it's nice, you know, if you have friends on Ravelry who aren't on Instagram, you can hide your knitting from them by posting on Instagram, or if your family's on Instagram and they might see what you post there, you can hide it from them by posting on Ravelry. So hopefully having the two different ways of entering posts in the conversation will be enough to keep your gifting hidden from the giftees. I hope it works for you. So yeah, chat. I can't wait to talk to you guys, okay? On to my weekly obsessions. My first is a new and exciting thing from Colette Patterns, which obviously, as I'm working with the Monita dress and the Dahlia dress, I quite like them. Particularly since they've expanded their size range, I've been a real fan of Colette Patterns. And they have a very new and exciting endeavor that I'm really keen on, and that is their new online magazine, which is going to be called Seamwork. And they describe it as having quick sewing patterns, but with little challenges within the sewing pattern, so it's not just your usual quick and easy sew up the two sides and you have a thing, but with little technique challenges, things that you can still learn from even though they are quick to make, and then accompanied with in-depth articles about all sorts of different things from fabric to techniques. And they say that the patterns are going to be everything from knitwear, accessories, lingerie, loungewear, bags, and basics in 3 hours or less to make. So I think that's awesome. The idea of having a cache of quick patterns that are still useful patterns is really exciting. The sizes for anything that is sized will be from 0 to size 26 or extra small to 3X, which is amazing. Thank you so much to the people at Colette for including the big people like me and also my friends who are small, because, you know, we're both equally pattern worthy. And I like to see that we're both getting the same cool patterns as opposed to a separate line for plus and straight sizes. So thank you. I love it. There is a preview link in the show notes that you can go through to, and what you need to do there is sign up, and they'll email you weekly with information. The first one, I believe, is coming out in December. And so they'll be letting people know what the pricing's going to be and just little hints about it. So go click the preview link. Also, if you sign up for the preview things, you are entered in a draw for potentially to win all the patterns, like to win a subscription. And if you are clicking the preview link and signing up through it, you, for full disclosure, you are giving me more entries, which you should totally do. Just saying. Another cool thing about it is that they're going to be able, you can do gift subscriptions. So if you're trying to think of things to put on your holiday gifting wish list, that might be an idea. So yay, Seamwork magazine. How cool is that? My second obsession is Halloween candy because I love it so. Particularly Halloween candy with peanut butter in it. It's so good. And see, part of the thing is I have tried really hard to strongly reduce my need for sugar and salt. Basically, I don't want to be beholden to my cravings. And so I really don't eat that much sugar and I really don't eat that much salt. And salt, I've been able to pretty much eliminate added salt from my life. And sugar, you know, I have mostly eliminated snacks with refined sugar and, you know, I bake with sugar, but not even that often. But a week of eating Halloween candy has me back to craving sugar, which in some ways is really sad because that was hard work. But in other ways, I couldn't care less. Oh, Reese's Cups, how I love thee. So good. So I'm kind of glad that the bucket of Halloween candy is mostly gone, but at the same time, I'm gonna miss my peanut buttery treats. My third obsession is trying to find suitable chapter books to read to a 4 to 5 year old. My daughter is going to be 5 in January, and we have been reading her chapter books at night before bed. So just a chapter every night before she goes to sleep. We read The Witches and Stuart Little, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, just finished Jacob Tutu and the Dinosaur, which I love. So I'm trying to think up other chapter books that would be suitable for her age range. I find that with my child, and I think as many other children, the amount that they can comprehend by listening is much higher than their reading comprehension. My child can read three-letter words, basic single-syllable things. She can write her name. She is experimenting with multi-syllable words, but that's the extent of her reading. So, you know, The Cat Sat is about as far as we can get as far as reading with her. And yet, she's able to comprehend through listening, much more complicated stories. I am trying to compile a list of books that would be great for her, and some of them are books that I remember from my childhood. Things like The Mouse and the Motorcycle, that was a great book, or lots of Roald Dahl books, Matilda and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, things like that, and Charlotte's Web. There's a lot of old books that are great, although with older books, I've found that there's some pretty problematic stuff in them that you can either gloss over or skip or reword as you're reading or just explain them to your child if your child is old enough to understand that kind of thing when you explain them to them. Particularly some racial stuff in much older books. Like I've been hesitating on reading Peter Pan again until I can read it myself because it's just there's some stuff that I don't want my child internalizing. But I think a parent who's aware while they read is perfectly able to take care of that. So if there's any books that you think are great for the sort of 4 to 5 to 6 year old, she's relatively mature, let me know. Ravelry thread, whatever, private message. I'd love to hear from you. Mostly because I remember, like, I was a voracious reader as a child. But I stopped reading books for the sort of youth age group when I got out of that age group and haven't had any cause to keep up with them, so I don't know about anything new. And I know that people must still be writing awesome books. So, particularly new things, let me know. I'd love to hear from you guys. I was considering the How to Train Your Dragon book, but I don't know if that would be too scary. I haven't read it. So, things like that. I'd be really curious to hear from you guys. And that pretty much concludes the podcast for this week. I hope that you will come and join along in the Craftworthy Craft Along. Post on Instagram, post in the Ravelry thread, share the love, help other people with their Christmas crafting, or Hanukkah crafting, or solstice crafting, or birthday crafting, or just because crafting. There are so many reasons to give somebody a gift, and all of them are perfectly valid in this craft along. Have a wonderful week. I hope you get lots of crafting time and lots of time to spend with the people that matter to you. I'll talk to you next week. Bye.